going, where can they go? They can't drive at that stage. Dad's sitting out in the car.
That's really funny.
Well, it's funny until it happens, Scott.
Right, right. I'm a father of daughters.
I don't know how I'll behave.
About another...
I do know that when I get impatient around here, I play up the crazy gringo.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine they're dating anyone but Mexicans, because we'll be living here. So, that may still work. I was sharing that story with a buddy of mine the other day, and he's like, well, and you kind of look like Ted Kudinski right now, the Unabomber.
Well, maybe Charlie Manson.
Yeah, right.
Get yourself a little.
That's it. Before he shows up, I'll put a swastika on my forehead.
Put the backwards one on.
Right.
He won't know the
difference. Make it removable.
But yeah. No, don't worry. It's
yeah, don't
just
carve it in.
We lived in Flagstaff, and my husband would show up at the front door with a huge axe. You know, we'd go for tree cutting. Yes.
What do you want?
Poor daughter. But she had two older brothers.
The first boyfriend my daughter had, we were she was in grade 10 in high school. And
the
humor the grade 10 hallway where the lockers were was right in front of one of the labs I taught in, the computer lab.
Okay.
And just as break was ending, this guy comes over and he gives my daughter a little peck on the cheek, and then he goes away. He goes into my classroom. She goes. And he sits down and I says, what do you mean, kissing my daughter? He just sort of slipped into as low as he could go.
I think I'll be that dad.
There you go.
Yeah. If I showed up with an axe to somebody, my daughter would just be, ignore him, he's probably going to hurt himself.
Yeah.
Good one. I'm liking this kid.
He's doing that for your benefit.
Oh, she made it, Dad. She just
made
that.
She made Dad, be careful.
Now remember how bad you cut yourself last week.
Right.
What'll be real fun is my two good buddies from Alaska that come to visit. They're bigger than I am.
Yeah, they sit over in the corner.
Yeah, these three big guys. When they're in town and my daughter's dating, I can just imagine.
You ever see the internet picture of the Game of Thrones guy, the big guy? What is he? He's the, not the animal, he's the mountain
okay.
With his two brothers. His two brothers are about 6 inches taller than him. He's the little one in the middle.
Right.
Now, I'd hate to run into those three in a bar when they're angry.
Well, Scott,
is
your friend from New York
coming
this year?
As far as I know.
Yeah. Uh-oh. What's going on?
By the way, hi, Mike.
How you been?
Good. Good.
He is...
Happy year.
He is a feckled kind of traveler. He could come at a moment's notice or not come for another 4 years.
Have you talked to him at all about his ideas about what we talked about with the net neutrality stuff?
No, not recently. Not recently.
I
think he is probably beside himself with the changes in Bitcoin recently.
Yeah, because he works for... Who does he work for?
Well, he works for a cable company in New York, but he's Bitcoin is his big thing. That's it.
Oh!
That's what he's been pushing. He's been trying to do a Bitcoin business that has gotten stopped by the state government there in New York. And so he's worked up to, I think he got elected an assemblyman of his area on the grounds of encryption and privacy, which
is
spun out of his Bitcoin
stuff.
Is he stuff.
In New York City or is he...
Yeah, he's in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was looking into Bitcoin just a little bit, and I saw one of the uses in the past was because Argentina had such incredible inflation that people were going on getting Bitcoins.
Oh yeah.
Talk about inflation.
Yeah, well, I'm 20%.
There is no consistency. If somebody bought Bitcoin at 1,000 and now it's what, 18 or something?
Yeah.
I don't see the advantage of it.
Yeah, it's.
And you're not selling arms or drugs.
Well, and that's kind of a faux pas, because really Bitcoin is anything but anonymous. There are anonymous cryptocurrencies out there, but the root of this cryptocurrency is that it's all ledgered back to the beginning of its time.
There's no stability to it. That has stability is what an economy can run on. If it has no stability, it's Nazi Germany with barrels of money to buy a loaf of bread.
The gold standard.
The argument is that it is like gold. The argument is that it will derive its stability in that it is ledgerable all the way back to its inception. So that every transaction is documented and recorded from the very inception of this currency.
But if somebody bought Bitcoin at 1,000 and now it's 18,000, isn't that a 1/18th value if they're going to use it?
You're going to quickly get into areas of economy that I don't understand. Well, but I do understand the technology.
It's the same thing as if it's the same thing as pesos. If I traded my pesos at 12 per dollar back 3 years ago or whenever it was, then those pesos now, Mexico has mm-hmm. changed its prices. Those pesos are worth what I paid at 12 per dollar.
Okay, the key, though, is you can trade pesos for dollars. Can you trade bitcoins for dollars or pesos or anything?
Well, you can.
Regardless of whether you can or you can't, if you're going to use that exchange of currency, that certain currency, it's worth what today's value is. It's not worth what you bought it for. It's inflated 18 times from the 1,000, as an example. Well, and therefore, it's now depreciated 1/18.
Yeah, but the key point is, what can you use it for?
Yeah. Where you spend it at?
Well, there's more and more places that are allowing it. But why would I invest in a volatile currency? That's all.
I'm far from a financial expert. You guys know I'm the guy that crawls under your desk and plugs in your computers. But if I had any insight on this, I would be making money and just be here for fun.
Right. As of Monday, there are certain banks and investment banks that are now making a market in Bitcoin.
Yeah, they just started yesterday.
And that may, in fact, enable the Bitcoin to be exchanged for currency.
Well, I mean, there is those currency exchanges that are happening. And not being an economics or a finance guy, I think what's important is the distinction. When you say pesos, it kind of rubs me the wrong way, because I know that at any moment the government can print out wheelbarrows of pesos and all of a sudden your peso is not worth anything.
Sure.
And I know that technically with Bitcoin that can't happen. It is much more similar to gold in that they have to work for it to pop out. It is, in fact, Theo is always fond of calling it the first virtual commodity.
It's supply and demand.
Well, no,
of supply and demand, of course it is.
Well, no, the value derived from it, yes, but the supply is finite. It is stuck in stone right from the very inception. There is no way to create more Bitcoin. What you're doing is you're mining.
It's impossible. That's like people that said that there was only so much wealth in the world. But when Microsoft...
Gary, this is a technical thing. It's not... It's a mathematical thing. This is the only part of Bitcoin that I really understand.
There's 18 billion or some finite number of Bitcoin.
That's right. And there will never be more than that. And that was from its inception. That was the point of building a currency in this manner. Was they thought about those kinds of things before they even started down this path.
But that doesn't change the volatility of it. Because now it's worth 18,000. Last 2 weeks, it's gone from 15 to 18, or some ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it has. In fact, there's an article I was reading this morning on Wired that is titled "People Are Mortgaging Their Houses to Buy Bitcoin."
Oh, can you cash out?
And what they pointed out was, in 1 year, Bitcoin's value has gone from $1,000 to over $19,000. And at the time they were writing the article, they said today it's 16,674 makes me wish I had kept mining Bitcoin when it first came out.
Can you cash that out?
That's the key.
Yeah. Chester's right, because there are people trying to cash out, and the ones that are able to cash out are the ones that are buying them like venture capitalists, where it's like, I'm giving you my Bitcoin, and you're giving me your money. But there isn't really a good system of exchange that you can just go to it like an ATM and have it pop out like dollars.
It's not like the stock market.
No. And I just made that analogy to an ATM, but I do know that there are ATMs that are
Bitcoin.
In Canada there's some Bitcoin
ATMs. There's many ATM machines now.
For a Bitcoin.
I think it's probably maybe 18,000.
The point of the ATMs is that when you pull value out of them, it's coming out at dollars. So you're basically selling, you're not selling bitcoins because bitcoins are so expensive. You're selling fractions of bitcoins and receiving them as dollars at that moment.
So what's new happening in San Carlos?
Yeah.
So what's new that's happening in San Carlos?
Free bitcoins for dollars. It may be expressed in dollars, but can you in fact take a Bitcoin and get a dollar for it?
Well, you can, but the convenience that you're referring to doesn't exist.
Right.
I mean it is not. It's not like using dollars. There's just
or
that.
Pesos or anything.
Isn't that the same? Exactly. It's the same as pesos to dollars. It's only because somebody else is willing to give you dollars for your pesos, or vice versa, that there's an exchangeability. So, if somebody is willing to give you bitcoins or give you dollars for the bitcoins that you give them,
okay. I think individual trades can be made. You can buy bitcoins. The question is, can you convert bitcoins?
Right, and
you may find you may be able to sell a bitcoin if you can find a buyer.
Right. There has to be a market, and a market will be created at some point, probably.
Well, and that's actually what's happened. With this kind of
stores,
flexibility, people are rushing to buy into it. So selling isn't a problem right now.
Buying and selling all by itself doesn't have any basis. What's behind Bitcoin? There's no, like gold is supposedly behind the dollar. Well, we know it isn't, but...
No.
Well, not anymore.
Nixon or was it?
I know that.
Eisenhower.
I know that. Yeah.
Okay,
I know that. But
yeah, it's faith-based currency now.
Okay, Bitcoin has nothing to do with any kind of value.
Right, like our dollar.
No.
We just determined that.
Okay.
They removed the L, and now it's based on God. It's not based on gold.
Well,
right? that's what we moved to.
Bitcoins could become a currency depending on acceptability.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have a market to buy and sell. You have francs, you have pesos, you have all these currencies that are not based on anything other than the reputation of the country issuing them.
And the economy, the economics.
Economic.
Well, I think Chester's criteria for currency is really valid. Bitcoin, like a dollar, is more like a vehicle of value. It doesn't represent gold anymore. It doesn't. It represents the faith we put in the value of what we're exchanging. And the value that's derived from Bitcoin is in that finite amount that was predetermined at the beginning, the amount of work it is to create one more of those prime numbers, and the fact that they can't be duplicated, that it's protected by a password, and if you lose it, you lose it. It's gone. It doesn't exist any longer.
It's got predetermined by whom?
By the programmers, the ones that originally put together the Bitcoin code. But if you think about it, it is no different than if you had your own printing press and your own paper and your own ink and you started printing off Bob dollars.
That's right.
And then you have to convince people that Bob dollars have a value. The reason with the Bitcoin is so interesting is because of the reasons they're giving us to give it value.
Greed.
Like Facebook stocks and shares.
What raised it from 1,000 to 19,000?
I mean, if it was donuts and you had a box of 12 donuts and everybody here wanted donuts, we all interchanged in donuts, all of a sudden they would have a certain value. And as donuts got eaten, the remaining donuts would have more value, right? Especially if everybody wants a lot of donuts. Maybe everybody wants 12 donuts. There's only 12 donuts. The moment I eat one, those 11 donuts have a lot more value than 12 donuts.
Everybody wants the top of the Ponzi scheme, too.
Well, and I heard you say that down and I heard that just the other day. I heard a tech repundant that I value their opinions on this kind of stuff, and they said it's just like any other pyramid scheme. It's it's the people that got into it first are going to make the most money out of it, and I want to say thousands, because I thought that was the number I heard. Thousands of unaccounted for bitcoins that were originally created when the code was first released. And so the only thought is those 1,000 belong with the developers, and they're just waiting for the value to exist so they can change them in. And there's a lot of drama behind Bitcoin and its creation because the developers are unknown. They're secret.
What was the premise? Why did you develop this Bitcoin program?
Illegal markets.
No. I don't believe that.
Drugs and arms were sold.
Arms,
I believe that came afterwards.
So
I think
it's like a credit.
From my experience with it, what I believe is that they created it as an example of currency to replace the dollar. If you were going to replace the dollar with a secure, practical currency, how could you do it digitally? And that's what it was. It was an exercise in that. Getting people to adopt it as a value system is, I think, faith-based, just like the dollar is. The dollar has lots of years behind it. It used to have gold behind it. All over the world, they attribute value to it, even though we can fluctuate it very easily out rolls of dollars.
That's what he said. You know, it's based upon the reputation of the country, you know, and how well we're doing. But I wonder if you could. What is it when you duplicate something? I just had the word. It's a phony, in other words,
clone
phony copy. Dollars.
Phony dollars, fake dollars, faux fake. Dollars.
when you
counterfeit
money.
Yeah.
Counterfeit. Can you counterfeit Bitcoin? Why not?
It's not possible.
What?
Were they first utilized?
They aren't a physical item. What a Bitcoin is it's a prime number.
I know.
Right. So there is no way, and it's a prime number that's been hashed with your password until you do the transaction. Then it's hashed with somebody else's.
Well, somebody started in the beginning.
That's right. So somebody wrote the program. They rattled off thousands of Bitcoins, these prime numbers that are hashed to their own secret code, and they ferreted those away, and nobody's seen them since.
Let me give you a perfect example. You cannot take $10,000 or more in cash and deposit it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you're selling drugs, what do you do with the money? But you can take Bitcoin, and hopefully in the future there'll be a market for it.
Okay.
Yeah. 15
or 20
I
years
agree
ago,
with
you.
I think
of New York started its own and monetary.
Thank you for bringing. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
Satoshi Nakamoto. I almost don't. I can't look at it when I'm trying to say the name. So this is the name that's associated with the developer of Bitcoin. However, there's no reason for us not to think that this is a group of people that work together, probably in an academic setting, that put this together. And they've just released it under this name. All their documentation was under this. This is the drama that I was referring to. Is nobody really knows who that person is or that group is. But you can bet when Bitcoin starts hitting hundreds of thousands of dollars, there's going to be a dump of these original coins, And we're going to know they're the original coins because they have time stamps on them, because of the numbers that are with them. The moment that those dump out onto the market, we're going to know exactly who that person is. And that's why I'm saying that it's perceived that people are using them for drugs and arms and things like that. I think that is that was not the intention. It was a good vehicle for that until people started paying attention. Before they were being exchanged quietly for those kinds of activities, and because no one was aware of what Bitcoin was, it was being used for an exchange of value. But I don't believe they're using Bitcoin for those kinds of activities. Because they can't, specifically because it can be tracked. Because there's a ledger that goes with the coins. Every transaction, if you have a Bitcoin wallet and I send you money, not only am I sending you my hashed prime number, I'm associating it with your password, I'm sending every single transaction that has ever happened in Bitcoin since its conception along with my coin. And your ledger is getting updated with all that information. And it's being distributed peer-to-peer, similar to the way when you pull information from the internet, it divides in packets and goes into a web of different directions and gets reassembled at the other end. Everyone gets to these ledger updates.
So there is an assumption that organizations like Interpol or whoever would be
able to track all of that.
And buy some.
Yeah.
So I would bet that many security departments in different various countries own Bitcoin.
Sure.
So they could trade with the people they want to watch on.
Yeah, maybe.
What were you saying about New York?
I think in New York, probably the same kind of thing. You know, my guess it was some Cornell professors decided, well, let's try our own money system because we're not happy with what's there. And they put it out on the street, and all the vendors, all the stores took it. It lasted about 3 years.
Well, before the Federal Reserve was created,
15, 20 years ago,
there was all kinds.
Banks in the U.S. made their own coin. I mean, made their own
city.
Scott,
Bitcoin's
on your list of topics for today.
Yeah.
only this part about people mortgaging their houses to buy them. And if you guys are interested in that, I'll put a link on the website. But it's it wasn't a Wired article. I'm sorry, it's an Engadget article. And what I found most interesting is in less than a year, they've gone from $1,000 up almost to $20,000, and today they're at $16,500, which is crazy. It's just a crazy amount of value.
Like buying tulips.
Okay, if you say so. It's also the Winklevosses are back in the news because that's what they did with their Facebook money, is they bought into Bitcoin, and so they're rubbing their hands together with glee going, we're billionaires now.
Okay.
I'll take any other. We've started. I haven't actually introduced us. We are the San Carlos Computer Club. Yeah. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we have gotten started without an intro. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15 here in Tequilas, and I try and record it for posterity because there's four people out there that like to watch what we do.
Four.
I'm open to any topics. Bitcoin was one of my topics, but it was a very shallow topic. It wasn't meant to be as deep as we'd gotten it.
I have an IP address problem.
Oh, okay.
With our IP address, you know, the one
Bitcoins.
Moimus.
I
just started a new web page, and now I can't get into it.
And it has to do with your IP address?
Yeah. It says there is a problem with the VPN.
With the VPN.
And so I check the IP address and see there is a problem in there someplace. So something has attached itself to my web page, WordPress thing, and I can't open it.
So you're trying to get into a WordPress that's on the internet?
Yeah, it's mine, my own.
Okay.
And I can't get back into it. So I checked the IP address, and there is a problem.
Does it have a name? A domain name?
Yeah, I have a domain name.
But when you try and go to that, it doesn't bring anything up?
No, it won't. It just says it's just back off. It's a dangerous site. So I looked at the web, at the IP address, which is, I guess, the one in Guaymas with the Telmex.
Well,
and I can't, then it says that I should get a VPN, and they gave me a list of four that they recommended. You know,
so
not to hide my ass one, but there's four others.
But was it not found, or was it found and flagged as a problem?
It's flagged as a problem somewhere in there. It's
talk to flagged. WordPress.
Do you have the address handy? Can I just try it out?
Yeah. You can find, there is, okay, check it out. You can DAG.
Pardon me.
DAG-STROM.
DAG-STROM.
.com.
.com. STROM.
No, STRAUME.
Yeah. Would not work then?
Yeah.
STRAUME. Okay.
What are you using this for?
It's a web page. I just opened it up. I'm not using it for anything yet.
What is your intent?
What
can you say?
Do business.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I sell things online.
This is surprisingly unavailable. It's just spinning in circles.
Yeah. And it tells me I need to...
I mean,
they suggest I get a VPN.
Yeah, because that's what your internet provider should be suggesting to you to resolve problems.
You know, our IP address is, you know, the 189 dot so and so and so.
Something.
Is that where you created the website, on that IP address?
It's really weird.
It is.
Well, it is the one you actually have when you live here.
So you created the website on that IP address?
Who's your host?
And then it worked.
I think that's a smart question.
Who's your host?
It's,
look at this. Okay, so your issue looks like it's an encryption certificate problem.
I had that on one of mine. I went right to the, like, I used HostGator or whatever.
Whoa!
Whatever it was called back in those days.
Yeah, what do you see?
For some reason, I've been redirected to a Telmex modem.
Okay, that's the problem.
So
I think I'm going to try to get this VPN.
I don't know if a VPN will help you with that problem.
I think you need to get a hold of the host, whoever your hosting company is.
Yeah.
So you've got...
It's not GoDaddy, it's on that one. It's
names?
I can't think of it right now.
It feels like there's one of two problems happening here. It's either your registry's pointing to the wrong IP,
okay,
or your host... There's an issue with your host.
Okay.
Or you may need the cert like he's talking about.
Well, the cert was actually... I think I have just touched a modem out there on the internet. And the cert is...
Is it a bank?
You know, I wish I could derive some more information. If I was more of an Infinitum hacker, I probably could. But it is not... What I can tell you is it's not the modem here. Because the modem here has a different login.
Put admin in there.
So, that won't work. What you need is, like, the Wi-Fi code of whatever modem that is. And not a Wi-Fi code that you set, but the one that originally came with it. And so there really, I mean, there might be some ways to get some information
out
of it.
It was working at first, you know, when I was first set it up. And then all of a sudden...
Well, I wonder if it's...
Yesterday, I noticed, you know...
Is it possible that you are intended to host your your WordPress from your home computer? Because maybe what you've done is you've got a name that's assigned to your home IP address. I'm looking at your modem.
Yeah.
and it won't let it pass because of the firewall, because of the security issue.
Yeah, there is it's a security issue, I think.
But if it is hosted at your home computer, that's probably not the way you want to do it. You probably want to host it out on the internet.
Yeah.
With a service. Like WordPress has a service that you can...
They have a service there, yeah.
Yeah, that you can purchase and they'll host your...
Namecheap.
Say again?
Namecheap is my host.
Namecheap.
I had the same problem. Game got the same thing. It was flagged. I called Namecheap, and they worked. There was somebody attached themselves to your website somehow, and they.
Okay, that's what has happened.
Then they'll clean it up for you.
So are they doing hosting as well?
Yes.
I see they're doing names, but they're doing hosting too.
Namecheap.
Yeah, but I do. It does feel like it's a registry problem or a
hosting
problem.
Yeah, I'll get redundancy.
Because it seems very strange that it's pointing to an infinitum modem.
Yeah.
I suspect that it's been inappropriately registered. And so it's pointing either that's the intention, is that your website is inside your home and it's pointing back at your modem, or which would mean that it could be pointing at any infinitum modem.
It's pointing in the wrong direction. Wrong.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where I got to start. I've got to go back to that.
And during the registration process, you're telling it where to find the IP address. Maybe you haven't given it your host address correctly. You've given it your infinitum address instead of where you're hosting your website.
Okay, that could be something like that. But it was working fine when I first set it up, and then all of a sudden, yes.
You know, it's beginning to make sense to me.
Well, just a little extra insight on that. If you were following instructions to be your own host from inside your own home, because of the way IP addresses are allocated from infinitum, it may have worked just fine to begin with. And then the next time that your infinitum got disconnected and reconnected, that's when it stopped working.
Okay, it could be something like that.
But that's making a lot of assumptions. But I can see how that would work. If you were hosting it inside your house, that would definitely be... Well, for example, we have an audio stream that comes out of here, and the first place it goes is over to my house. But if infinitum gets disconnected, I won't know where that IP address is. The IP address will change, and so it won't be the same numeric address.
So it wouldn't help to get a VPN?
I don't believe so, not to resolve this issue.
No.
Yeah, I think that may be just a misunderstanding with technical support.
I have a question about security.
Sure.
With all this fake news and being able... Well, yeah. There's a lot of fake news out there.
Yeah.
With the internet and the way communication is working, usually you can find out where it's coming from. Usually. I was telling people before the meeting that Horizon, who wants to do all the smart home, they are now in competition with Cyberco, and are using, they do not want to monitor their systems locally. So it's a New York company, and it's the same thing as you doing computer work and then decide that you're going to have a New York company bill them. So you are removed. And you can argue with the New York company about your bill, but you can't argue with you.
Oh.
Okay? That deals with security.
Wait, are you saying that this is the new model for Cyberco? Is they're using...
No. Oh, okay. No, they're monitoring locally.
Right.
But Horizon is monitoring out of New York City.
Well, somebody breaks.
Oh, this is this new smart home company
that's
coming in. Okay.
And they're monitoring out of New York City. Now... The monitoring has to do with the communication with the police.
That's your assumption, or that's what they've said, is they work with the local police?
The monitoring, Cyberco or whoever, or Horizon, they have to call the local police to send somebody out if there's a problem.
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay? No, that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Okay.
Okay.
So, with all this business of trying to hide my ass... of hiding yourself from the responsibility that you probably should take. And Bitcoin is along the same line. You're trying to hide something because you don't believe that what over here is of a real value.
It seems Let me restate, you can't hide anything about Bitcoin. Go ahead.
Okay, but it seems to me that an honest approach, we're eventually going to get back to why are we not dealing with, honestly with other people? And if the internet, we can always tell where it's coming from, why don't we have more of this information available? Maybe that's too long and...
Bob, I'm having trouble finding an answer for that.
You confused me. You kind of got What he was saying earlier, Scott, is that Horizon monitors, calls the police from New York, not locally.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a reasonable way to do things.
Right, except that they don't know the police.
Right, but they probably just need to know Spanish and the police's phone number.
No, because I happen to know that Cyberco has to call 4 and 5 times to get them to really do anything, okay? And they have a relationship with the police, okay? So it just seems to me with all of this internet stuff, we ought to be able to know where things are coming from. So there really is, when it comes down to fake news, we ought to be able to say, that came from these people.
Many iterations of it. It goes from A to B to C, and all of a sudden it's a double Z. You probably can if you want to spend all that
There's got to be somebody here locally that can make those phone
calls. That's the problem.
I'm talking about a concept, not just Cyberco and Horizon. It seems to me that with the internet, we should know where things are coming from.
That can be pretty subjective, though, too, because what you consider as fake news is not necessarily fake to, for example, Maggie. That's Bible.
I think what he's saying, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's a piece of information ought to be able to be traced back to its founder.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I do think there's a lot of that is happening, because the internet is anything but anonymous. It's just lack of skills to get that. And so maybe that is something we're going to see as we're going into the future, is the skills to have that information will be in place. Either we'll all be have more skills for sorting that out, or the technology will just inherently provide those things easier to people, so you can go and look you don't have to understand how it was looked up. You know, Bob, that was the scariest thing about the Snowden revelations, was that they've done that. They have created databases where people that aren't sophisticated, that have maybe the skills to make a Google search, had access to all that information. You type in Barack Obama, and you've got all his phone calls, and you've got all his text messages, and you've got all his emails, and all the web pages that he's visited. That all exists. That kind of transparency, the technology for that kind of transparency already exists because the internet isn't anonymous.
There are sites that you can go on to verify stories, too. Mm-hmm. Even the Tucson newspaper, as bad as it is, has on Sunday, on page 3, they have a thing about what was true and what wasn't true about last week's news.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a terrible paper, but they do verify
that. Really?
Yeah.
It is a terrible paper.
Oh, it is. It's a terrible. It's a rag.
It's great to be like Arizona basketball.
Yeah. The New York Times crossword puzzle.
You want to interject something?
I've got DirecTV.
Okay.
And just about a week ago...
You have to speak up.
I have DirecTV. About a week ago, and it's what it is I brought a receiver down from the U.S., so it's... they just don't know the receivers in Mexico. It's worked great for 5 years. Last week, a message came up, said the guide is being refreshed, or there's been no guide, in other words, no menu of all the shows for the last 4 hours, and it ended up cutting everything off. So I have everything in the DVR that's been recorded, but nothing that, it's not it's not receiving a satellite signal, I believe. When I go to menu, so here's my question: is it reasonable that the satellites direct could withdraw the signal from certain satellites that are coming into Mexico and have them either redirected or not allow them south of the border?
Yes. Aren't they streaming now?
Call Chava.
I don't know if that makes sense or not. They are.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. It's an interesting issue because what they can revoke is the encryption key for your box. And then the way they go about doing that is all up to them. And they could have software that makes it look like you've lost the signal. I mean, if they felt like that was the easiest way to get whatever result they're trying to get out of you.
How would they determine that that box is here rather than North Dakota or somewhere?
That's a good question. It's one I'm not prepared to answer. I don't know.
2 years back, working Canada, we had Bell satellite TV. Came down 1 year, didn't work. I thought, okay, the dish got moved. It was after 2 hours trying to align the dish, which only takes 10 minutes. Never could get it. I went in and Googled it, and I said, why is Bell not working in Mexico? That was full of people saying, yep, mine stopped too. What I heard, based on hundred right on the web, they adjusted
the angle.
You know what I mean? Like, so south of Canada, we almost don't get it. In Washington State, you wouldn't get it anymore. So they just fine-tuned their satellite slowly broadcast in a more precise Canadian border. Okay. So I end up switching to a different...
They built a wall.
The U.S. did this.
I did DirecTV.
DirecTV did the same thing, didn't it?
When we had the very high winds...
But I've been through this.
Is that when you lost your signal?
I've been through the kind of thing before. Okay. Call Java. He solves all the problems.
I think you have an antenna problem. Did that occur when the high winds we had last week?
I was on the roof. There was nothing wrong. Nothing has moved.
Are you getting an error code?
I haven't had any problem.
I do get an error code.
750
I Google
or something
it,
like
it
that?
It comes up with nothing.
If you get into your account, you can restart your box.
I've tried that.
You tried the reset?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a good point, is that there is a numeric code on the phone you can call to send down a refresh code to your boxes. And I used to know what that is, but I have no idea where it's
documented. I thought the direct...
But you're not wrong to advise
I think it went
those guys are great.
But I don't know if it went to a reset.
He'll remember it.
Up to God up in the sky or not. I'm not sure.
Okay, have you unplugged everything, including cable, power, unplug everything from that box, let it sit for 10 minutes, plug it all back in? Have you done that?
No.
Do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that DirecTV was now AT&T.
It is, and
it's internet, because our dish on the roof in Tucson is sitting there and not connected at all, and we have internet TV with DirecTV.
It's through the dish here.
What?
It's through the dish here.
It's through the dish.
And your box is from a northern state.
No, mine's coming across the telephone.
It might be, but it's not down here. It's through the dish. It's not through the internet.
Oh, really? Huh. So people are
not
still
yet.
Using the dish.
Jerry, you going back up
well, that's still
off?
Yeah, that's
not
still yet. Available, it's even though they've merged.
Next time you go to the States, I take it with you and see if we can reset it up there and then bring it back down again.
When
I may have you do that or throw it away if it doesn't work.
Oh, I'll throw it away.
I think that's what they're hoping.
You're from a northern state. Did you? Was the signal originally set for North Dakota?
It never mattered. I could just literally take that box out of Colorado, bring it here.
Colorado should work.
And
well, I take mine all over the country. Yeah. Hey, I've carried the motorhome all over the country and it works everywhere.
I know.
It works down here, works there.
Yeah.
What was it working one day and then stopped the next?
It was working and then that message came up that the guide had not been refreshed for 48 hours, or for 4 hours. And then all of a sudden it became longer and the guide was not there at all.
The new border wall.
Who was it that said they thought this was an antenna issue? This really sounds to me like a signal issue.
I think it is. Signal issue. And there now is a there's a wire around the United States Just like dog pens, you know, with the wire underground.
Trump knew
there's
that.
A wire, yeah. And you can no
all
longer get it.
And you get it shakes everyone.
Yes, and that satellite says only here.
Let me suggest this. Once you take disconnect everything and then reconnect it, it may take a day or so for your whole guide to come back.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes it takes a while for all of it to get back in there.
When I go to the menu and I go to try to identify the satellites at 101 degrees, which was what was set, whatever, it's 32 zeros.
It sounds like an antenna problem to me.
I'll tell you what the real problem is.
Are you UMB, whatever, LMB?
Am I what?
LMB, your antenna LNB, I think is what you call it.
Yeah, LNB.
LNB may be defective.
Yeah.
You may have a better LNB.
We've all got all these experiences with TV down here. And so it's a hodgepodge of different services and illegal boxes. One of the things that I remember, my folks used to have boxes down here, and they would sit unplugged for a number of weeks, and when they would finally come and use them, they'd need to be reset because they'd already pushed down some new encryption keys. And so that would be like one of my first questions to you is, how long did it sit unused? But it sounds like it was just overnight.
It's been used.
Yeah. And so that's when you'd have to dial the code and stick in, hey, refresh my box, and so it would send down a new code.
That happened to me with Cody. I got this hotshot guy, and boy, he can't figure it out because the box sat for a month.
During that month, everything changed.
Yeah,
all the repositories are down.
Yeah. I guess someone like Java.
Yeah.
To get a phone number for him.
Because more than like somebody like Java would answer like four or five of the possible problems we've brought up here all in one hit.
Yeah.
I know what the real problem is, and all you Americans don't understand this, but the Mexicans understand. Paciencia, senor. Paciencia. Okay? Paciencia. Yeah?
I don't know what that means.
Patience.
I had patience. My wife wouldn't know what to do.
Well, do we have other topics? I have other topics. I don't know if you guys are interested in my other topics.
Maggie went upside down.
They just... Yeah, Maggie was just 90 degrees. I was just looking that they have announced 28 new countries getting Amazon Unlimited Music. Ooh. And I could not find Mexico in that list.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't know what that's all about. It seems odd that they would... What's that?
It's that wire he's talking about.
It's the wire. The one that the Roku can't cross.
They want me to upgrade to Amazon Prime Music.
Right.
With my tap all the time. And I say no.
So you still get music catalogs even though you're not on Prime?
I'm not on the special one.
Unlimited music.
Unlimited music.
See, I suspect that the unlimited music in the United States we would take advantage of down here quietly. The same way that I suspect that your 2 million songs that are free with your Prime subscription are available down here on your tab, even though it's not a Mexican.
They are available down here, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a Mexican offering right now.
Right.
When you look at the Prime offering in Mexico, it, which is interesting, they've figured out videos. There's a whole collection of Prime video available, but they don't have music. They've got NFL football. But they haven't figured out how to do music yet down here. So, remember, you've got your U.S. Prime account, but you could also have a Mexican Prime account. And it appears that your Echo is functioning off of your U.S. Prime account down
here. One
doesn't
get you the other.
Right. It's two separate things. So if you wanted to do video down here, you'd have to have the Mexican Prime account. But Mexico doesn't have the unlimited music account or the Prime music account. I'm sorry. There's 2 million songs available with your U.S. Prime account. And Bob and I have been able to take advantage of it down here with our Echo. Dad, you're taking advantage of it as well. You've got an Echo now. And when you ask it for music, your authorization for that music appears to be your U.S. Prime account. It'll be interesting to see when they finally add music to Mexican Prime. That may end up getting blocked. We may be pushed to buy Mexican Prime to have the same kind of access.
Am I wrong to remember that American Prime is blocked down here?
And it's not. Except when it comes to, like, the videos.
You use a DS or DNS, because I got Prime US on my Roku.
Right.
And it streams videos fine.
Right. The US collection of videos. I don't have a VPN or use smart DNS, and so I get the Mexican Prime videos, which is a handful compared to what's available in the United States. But that's all available through Mexican Prime. They've made that whole... In fact, Mexican Prime has a video system that in Mexico would compete against Netflix. It's separate. You don't have to pay for the shipping. You could just pay for the video subscription service, which they're not offering in the United States in that form.
I pulled an Amazon Prime US movie with my VPN the other night.
Yeah. So it's...
With the VPN.
With
the VPN.
Yeah, with the VPN, right.
It's very odd where we're at with this. I got on Amazon.com, and because I have a Prime account in the United States, I was able to go to Amazon Music. I was able to create playlists and listen to music, and it actually has a really nice web browser music player that just sits in a header, and you can browse the internet, you can shop, you can leave that page open, all available online. What you would think would probably not be available in Mexico, totally available in Mexico. But maybe it's totally available in Mexico until they come up with the Mexican offering. And the moment they come up with the Mexican offering, it's like, well, you're going to have to pay for Mexican Prime to have access to that.
Is there any consensus about which VPN service is the best?
Anybody have an opinion on
it? I researched this past summer, and there's a whole bunch of lists that give you the top 10. I ended up, to hide my ass, I gave up on it. I just didn't like it.
It died when they couldn't keep up with Netflix.
And then they billed me for an extra month and would not listen to my complaint. I ended up with VPN Express, which I mentioned in here before. It's strong. I mean, it's real strong. Yeah, and I can't do a part VPN Express. It's 6 months for $60. And I find that if I go to... It's hard to switch cities. But if I go to L.A., I'm better off than I was when I'm trying to use Dallas.
And I hear from Cloakbox.
It's real strong.
With Tobia and Cloakbox, the only problem with it is it's expensive. And every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, it shuts down and you have to reboot. And I forgot to do that, and then I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get Netflix.
Really? It does take up bandwidth, though.
Yes.
Two to three most of the time.
So, and that's one of the disadvantages of using a VPN, is that there's this overhead to that kind of connection. And I know Ed and Jim's not with us today. Maggie, did she take off? Yeah. She was just in front of us. They've been using Smart DNS, which is a different style system that provides you with similar results without the overhead that a VPN has.
The overhead on the megabytes. You mean.
That's right.
I get 38 megabytes where I'm at up on the hill.
Now he's just bragging because it has nothing to do with using this service.
It didn't change the output when it's connected or not connected. I've unplugged it and plugged it back in, and I get the same with it on or with it off. And it's $30 a year, I think.
We've talked about this distinction before between something like Smart DNS's service and a VPN service. Because with a VPN, you really are locked into traffic moving between two points. And so that's where that overhead comes from. You lose, whenever you're going through a VPN, you lose that ability to just send and receive information from whatever the fastest leg of the internet is at the moment, and you're locked into doing it through this pipe, this virtual pipe, to that endpoint, and that's where you get the lag. A service like SmartDNS is doing something different. It's redirecting only the traffic that you might be using SmartDNS for. So it maintains paths for Netflix, for Hulu, for Amazon Prime. The effect in your world is those services you're able to get access to as though you're in the States, but then you go to Google, it probably still pops up in Spanish because that's the quickest route to Google.
Do you have a VPN?
No, I don't use a VPN.
I don't either.
Yeah. So I haven't felt the need for it.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
So why do you have it?
There are certain websites you cannot...
American TV on some things.
But you can't access.
Like on my Roku, I can get NBC, ABC. Their internet streams that are updated every day, you know, like I watch cop shows all the time, so if I miss Tuesday night and I miss what the heck's it called, Chicago PD, mm-hmm. by Wednesday it's got the new deal on it, and I don't have the trouble. Cody is so off, iffy off and on.
Cody has been so iffy recently. In fact, if I had to recommend an app, it would be that Terrarium TV has been much more dead on than Cody has.
I've been using Streamio.
Streamio is good, too. And what's nice about Streamio is that you can run it on a Mac or on a PC as well as Android. You can't run Terrarium TV on a Windows computer, but they give this really bizarre answer. And I've actually done this. It does work. Where you're running an Android tablet, a virtual Android tablet in Windows. So you're running a Windows app that's a virtual Android installation, and then you run Terrarium TV as an Android app in that virtual tablet.
Okay. My Watopia is very good, but it really eats up the battery. I have 28 available, and I'm down to 8. By using Watopia.
Does anybody use Reddit for watching television?
Not for watching TV. How do you do that?
My friend says he watches the NFL every weekend. So I went on it today and I found a little bit. And if you hit television, I didn't go into it and try watching, but he does.
I don't follow the NFL.
Yeah.
But
I think you can watch other stuff on it too. But.
If you pay for Amazon Prime, they're advertising you can watch the NFL through Amazon Mexico.
Yeah, I saw that, but Reddit's free.
But Reddit, what they're probably doing is they're probably sharing illicit links to streamed videos.
Yeah, they are.
And
yeah,
so that's what you're doing is you're in a discussion group,
yeah.
And you go to the stream and you're watching the game. And maybe the game goes down, like somebody's brought that stream down, and they're immediately in that discussion group providing you with another link where you can find it.
Yeah. Can nobody use it here? Nobody's using it.
But can you record it?
Who wants to record the game?
Oh, I do.
If it's the way I imagine... If it's the way I imagine, what it is it's various streams that people are providing. So... There's not a Reddit TV experience that I'm aware of. It's a discussion group experience where they're giving you links to places to find the football game being streamed.
Yeah.
And they're bringing those streams down during the game to stop people from doing that stuff. Which you might find that 499 pesos is a lot cheaper than your patience.
Yeah, I have another thing anyway, but
See, the patience comes into play.
Yeah.
It's worth something. Has a cost.
Hey, just a couple of quick things I came with. I don't know if you've noticed, but you can buy Fire TV now in Mexico. So you go to Mexico. Fire TV.
That's a stick, right?
Yeah, the Fire TV stick. Yeah. You can have one delivered to your door here in Mexico now through Amazon.mx. So... That's kind of cool. I know it's part of their Amazon Prime push, but there's a lot of things you can do with a Fire TV. outside of just watching Amazon Prime.
There's a ton of Amazon content on it.
Yep.
That I can't get with the system I have right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I use Scott's Fire Stick. He's got the Blue Circle Radio City.
Yeah, the Radiosity.
You can't get into all the Amazon stuff down below, but I can get into that stuff with my wife's Prime and a VPN.
Yes. Yes.
What is Fire?
Fire TV. It's an Android TV that's proprietary to Amazon.
Is it a TV or is it just a
stick? No, it's a stick.
Yeah, it's a stick like a Roku or a Google Sling, Google.
Well, yes. Chromecast, it's closer to an Apple TV or a Roku than it is a Chromecast, okay. In that it has its own menuing system, has its own remote. You can use it for Netflix. You can use it for Amazon Prime content. Scott is recommending it as the platform for this Radiosity app that he's been distributing to people so they can watch live stream TV. But what's neat is you don't have to bring it down from the States anymore. You can just have it delivered to your door here in Mexico. It's one of the very first of the Amazon products to be available for sale on the Mexican Amazon store.
Does it work here and up there?
Yeah.
Is this the same Fire that's in...
Well, the one from up there works down here, so I would think.
Yeah. It's just Roku? Hardware. I'm yeah.
In Cody?
It's more about what account it's attached to
than
anything else.
What's the ban on Roku's down here? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that a while ago. Maggie's really the one that enlightened me to it. Back in January, almost a year ago, Televisa brought a lawsuit against Roku for the piracy and infringement, copyright infringement going on in Mexico.
The government passed the law.
Well, they ruled in favor of Televisa, and then immediately, there was like going to be a ban on the products, and then immediately put a ban on the ban until they could come up with a law. And what happened in July is they removed the ban on the ban. So now they're banned, and we still don't have a law.
Chico works.
Mine still works fine.
Well, no, the products work. But what you used to be able to do, and I suspect you can't do now, is you could set it up fresh in Mexico, and you would have a Mexican Roku account. I don't believe you can have a Mexican Roku account any longer. Not that anybody at these tables would care about that. They also were selling Rokus online, and they have been pulled off of all the online stores. And Rokus were starting to show up in Walmarts, and they're pulled from all the Walmarts now.
Really?
Yeah. And so Amazon's taking advantage of this very quickly and getting the Fire Stick out there, which I would argue is a better platform.
It's not like the demise of DirecTV down here or the demise of Netflix down here. You know, it's just part of that same pattern. The content makers up there don't want it for free down here. So.
Well, and it's actually kind of a sad example of shutting down piracy. Because there are much better places to go. But because Roku is they're trying to be a content distribution company, they're a hardware company, it's just a very easy thing to grab and say no to because it just shuts them down. Whereas
say,
things...
What would satellite just on your roof? Or the DirecTV?
They could grab the Fire Stick and say, hey, that's getting used for too much piracy, we are going to ban that. But it wouldn't matter because the generic Android TV box out of China is amply available here in various shapes and forms. And so that's really what these platforms are competing against. The Roku is competing against thousands of generic Android TV boxes that have been for sale forever here in Mexico.
And so the Fire Stick, you buy it once, right? And is there a monthly charge?
It's just like an Android box.
It is. So how much is the stick?
Well, the stick is, I think it was 999 pesos.
No. That's all?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it was very expensive.
Yeah.
They're about $40 in the States, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think originally it was something like 1,500 pesos, and now it's $9.99. And so it's not a robust piece of equipment. It doesn't have a lot of expansion, but for what it does well. And it's got an app store. Probably the only caveat with it is you'll have to have an Amazon account. You won't be able to do anything on it without an Amazon account.
Mexican Amazon or U.S.?
It shouldn't matter.
Just U.S.,
yeah, I mean, where it would matter is if you're going to take advantage of Prime content. And so if you've not paid for Mexican Prime, I've got a feeling that what you would see in the stick would be U.S. content you can't get at. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have that experience?
Yeah, we have two Amazon. We have one that's hardwired in our main TV at home. We have a stick we brought down here, plugged it in, but you can get on Netflix, YouTube. I mean, you're gonna, if there's nothing on TV, there's an unlimited amount of concerts and stuff you can watch on YouTube. We find it very good.
Yeah, that warm and fuzzy feeling of YouTube went away earlier this week when they announced they're gonna block the app.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Oh, what app?
The YouTube app on Fire Stick.
Fire Stick? Oh, okay.
Really?
YouTube is, yeah, they're actually looking for what hardware you're using to stop YouTube from working on it. Well, and it's like a playground fight that's going on right now between Google and Amazon in this respect, because Google had done something. I should bring in the history of it, because I was listening to somebody rattle off they were exchanging blows, and this is where we're at. Then I'm going to take YouTube off of your stick.
Wasn't it that Amazon would not sell Chromecast?
It could very well be. That sounds very familiar. I wonder if we can get a Chromecast on Amazon. I bet we can. They definitely weren't selling Apple TVs and got into a spat with Apple over that stuff.
I think that was settled last week.
They probably decided to sell Apple equipment and said they won't sell Google equipment. I wonder if we can. Let's get on Amazon real quick and see if we can. Can I buy?
We're getting that message every time we open up YouTube. So
on your Fire Stick, you mean? Or?
On your Fire Stick. But on your PC, it's okay, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just on the Fire Stick. By the way, I just got the biggest, newest Fire Stick. It's about $90 from Amazon. Yeah. But Scott, the TV guy, said that will now be ready for anything that comes along that he offers. So,
anything.
Yeah.
As this guy always says, they're always fighting to get one more step on the next one. Shut it down. Over
well, we had one of the originals. Yeah. We were starting to have problems, yeah. But, so we had to get something.
I'm having a slow Amazon loading, but what were we looking for?
On to you.
We were looking for Chromecast. Is that available?
Chromecast is not available on Amazon?
That's the theory here, is that they're not selling the Chromecast equipment on Amazon, and that's the reason that it's available. Oh, it is available. No, it's not available. It's available through it's not available at all. This is awesome. I'm on the U.S. Amazon, and what it has filled the search results with is third-party Chrome knockoffs and the Fire TV. I asked for Chromecast. It doesn't say it couldn't find anything. It shows me 1,715 items that could be anything but a Chromecast. That's great. In fact, there's a bunch of Chinese knockoffs called Anycasts that are available.
What?
Anycast.
Anycast?
Yeah.
Or that's Shiny awesome. Cast.
So that's absolutely what's going on, is they won't sell the Chromecast, and so Google is not allowing YouTube to go on it. And the message that you're getting is reminiscent of these contract battles that cable companies would have with like ESPN or A&E.
New York City has them all the time.
Yeah. where they're like, this channel's going to go away. You better talk to your cable provider and make sure that they keep this channel on your cable. That's the kind of message you're getting. They're really they're fighting a psychological battle with their customers right now. I think we've come to the end. Is that right?